Ladies and gentlemen, it's time yet again for another fantastic episode of Sauce Talk. And on the other line, boy, it's been a fucking while, but he's back and you're so fucking excited. It's Charlie. Charlie, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Johnny. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. It's been too long, but it's okay because we're all going to hear those wonderful words right now. Actually, not from me, but from you in response to the question, eat anything good lately?
I had a long think about this. Okay. And I wanted to go two different ways, and I'm going to do both if you'll let me.
Absolutely.
I wanted to somewhat like self-promotion wise mention that I have developed some recipes that they're not like my recipes, but just learned how to cook some things that I used to not know how to cook because my girlfriend has so many dietary restrictions. She's vegetarian, but she's also borderline like celiac. So she's gluten sensitive enough that she can't have anything.
That's a tough road right there. Those two.
Yeah. Those don't pair well. And then on top of that, she can have lactose if she takes lactaids, but she prefers to not, you know, on a regular basis. So I have to thread the needle between those three things. And two things that she likes that I make that I never made before I met her, a red lentil dal, which is like an Indian dish of like lentils cooked down with broth and coconut milk and stuff, served with rice. And then also I learned how to cook tofu, which I never cooked ever before in my whole life, to make tofu pad thai.
Ooh, yeah.
She can't have regular sauce for pad thai because it has fish sauce in it. So I had to invent my own with like cooked down baby Bella mushrooms and some, I think I put like honey or molasses in it or something one time. And then another time I used coconut sugar. But anyway, experimenting with these things. And she has said both of those are like, she loves them. She's had me make each of them many times now. And they're good. So I learned how to eat tofu, cook and eat tofu, and learn how to make an Indian dish. So I'm pretty happy with that. And I like those. But I made something else in a completely different vein. So you know I run D&D games.
Oh, yeah.
Over a year ago, improv'd during a game, I invented something that the characters would be able to eat at a sheep ranch called sheep biscuits. It was
very concerned out the gate, but we'll see where this goes.
Completely inane improv thing. It's like the kind of thing in like a sitcom where there's a throwaway joke where someone describes something that surely would not really exist, but it's very funny in the moment.
Yeah.
The sheep biscuits, a flaky, buttery, delicious biscuit, but the surprise on the inside is effectively like a shepherd's pie filling of meat and vegetables and gravy.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, ridiculous. But then some people were like, that kind of sounds good. So then, you know, in a future game, someone was like, do they have sheep biscuits here? And I was like, oh, absolutely. And described it all over again. And somebody who hadn't heard of it before was like, oh, that actually sounds good. It's been over a year. And I finally surprised everyone last weekend by making a tray of sheep biscuits.
Come on with this.
So I made just like a regular biscuit dough. And I pushed it down and like kind of made cups of it in a muffin tin, like a tray of like muffin tins. Is that what's called? All the like, you know, the circular tray made on the side. I didn't use mutton, but I used ground beef because it's way cheaper. Mm-hmm. But I basically did like a shepherd's pie filling. I scooped it in and then I topped it and then kind of like got the dough to join, baked it. The thing I was sure would happen was that they just like burst and it would just be like a mess.
Just grease rolling out. That's
totally what I was expecting. I was like, even when I was standing there making them, I was like, this is going to be a mess. They came out perfectly.
Amazing.
Literally every single one came out of the tray whole, intact. You couldn't tell there was anything in it. And then you cut it open with a fork or something. And all this shepherd's pie filling. Now, I know I could improve it from what I did, but I was really proud of myself.
That's so great. That's really cool. And especially, like, honestly, you gave us three things here. But it's three moments of exploration, not like, oh yeah, I really nailed this steak that I like to eat. It's like, I'm fucking making dal. I'm fucking figuring out how to fuck with this tofu. And then boy, oh boy, most of all, I randomly thought of a funny food. I was like, I could make that funny food. And you did it. This is like the mark of a guy who knows what he's doing in that kitchen.
Well, I know that I like to eat, so it's important to keep sharpening those skills.
It sounds really cool. That's an amazing response. Sheep biscuits. Is that's the nomenclature there?
That's right.
That's what the great thing about it is that it sounds on its own horrifying. But when you look at what's actually in the thing, you're like, well, yeah, I'd like to eat that. That sounds good. And so it comes back around, and what a success. What was the reaction like when you were like, oh, y'all want to bring up sheep biscuits again? I guess I'll have to pull them out from under the table now or whatever. How did that go when that happened?
There were a lot of laughs and smiles. Just to look at them, they look pretty much just like muffin shaped biscuits. So
everybody had to know,
like,
there's something going on. Like it would, like, if it turned out this was, I jammed crescent, like canned crescent rolls into the tin, that would not be impressive. So I'd be like, uh-oh, something's going to happen here.
They could tell that it was like purpose made. It wasn't like just a Pillsbury like biscuit or anything.
Right,
exactly. It wasn't like deconstructed where I just like dumped it on top. So they could tell that I thought it through. But of course, nobody was like horrified either. Nobody was like, because everyone had agreed many times, like, that sounds like it's probably
good. Why wouldn't I enjoy eating that? Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody afterwards said they really liked them. One friend came over, and he usually eats dinner with his wife before he comes over. He can't make it over as much because he's like a 1.5-year-old at this point kid. But he could make it. And that's why I specifically made sure I made him this past weekend. And he had eaten like lasagna for dinner like 2 hours before. I think he ate three of them. So they were good enough to not just politely try one. Like,
that's fantastic.
They were all eaten.
I love it. I don't want to build it up too much. It could be, if you want to tell me about multiple lasagna or sheep biscuit experiences on this same night, you can. Would be a surprise. But our next segment, I'd love to hear about. And yes, this is the new recurring segment. Charlie, what did you do New Year's Eve 1999?
So it's not fun. It's pretty boring.
Given the ages of our group, I think we shouldn't feel bad. Like, Dylan is a million. So, of course, Dylan was like, well, I was making $230,000 a year because I was 47 and I don't remember what his backstory is. But like for most of us, we were not like, oh yeah, I'm fucking paid. Time to go to club and have fun. So it's whatever you're going to say is going to be great.
Yeah. Well, it's not just not fun, but it's like a sad story kind of, but it's too crazy to not say. Like, I almost don't want to say it because I don't want to bring down the vibe, but I think I just was like playing video games, hanging out and like, you know, just not doing much of anything really around the house. I was a junior in high school.
Yeah.
But then the craziest thing was, like, so my dad was convinced that Y2K was going to happen.
I had some of that going too, just like me, not my dad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, well, my dad, because my dad was so sure it was going to happen, I was sure it wasn't going to happen. So I knew that he was all like expecting like major disruptions of society and stuff. But then this is when I saw like how fake that whole like worry really was. Mm-hmm. Was that at like 9 or 10 that night, I heard him like leave the house, and I was like, I went downstairs and my mom was there, and I was like, where'd my dad go? Because I was thinking he was going to be sitting around waiting, like watching the news, waiting for the power to go out or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it turns out he had to go over to my uncle's house, his brother's house, because there was this massive meltdown between my aunt and uncle and my cousin, my youngest cousin out of that family. And my dad just went over and talked to him and hung out for like hours, like all night basically. And after that, my aunt moved out and filed for a divorce. And like, they had a family complete meltdown, like end of the rope. So that's what I just hung out. I think I stayed up and watched the ball drop with my mom and like played video games. So nothing happened with me, but that happened that night. And I remember it very distinctly because I remember thinking to myself, If my dad thought the fucking world was going to end, he would just right. go drink Miller Lights with his brother and talk about how his family's melting down. But that's what happened.
It's especially exciting because you use the word meltdown. And so, like, the idea is, like, oh, my dad heard there's a meltdown, and he's abandoning the family. He's like, fuck Whoa. Everybody but me. All the nuclear reactors are going, like, no, actually, like, there's some bad shit with his family to go chat with them.
Yeah.
And so
that would be really funny if he had, like, thought that the world was ending, so he, like, left.
Yeah. Like, we're in Pennsylvania. They got those fucking power plants all over here. I gotta go.
Yeah.
good luck, idiots. Drives the only car the family has right out of the state.
Yeah. I don't think this is apocryphal. I'm almost positive this is true, but there was, like, a high-ranking Clinton administration, like, cabinet secretary or assistant secretary who famously, like, bought a boat and, like, sold all of his stocks or something and, like, started sailing around the world, like, that fall. And he had made some public comment that, like, he thought that Y2K was going to, like, be the thing.
That's very, I see, that was a fun story because I thought you were going the exact opposite direction, because I remember that, I don't know, I want to say that it's like the head of the FAA, but it could just be somebody high up. But I remember reading about how he was like, I am so confident everything's fine. I am literally buying a plane ticket that is like a cross-country plane ticket that will be in the air at midnight and every time zone. And
yeah.
I don't give a shit. It's going to be fine. No worries yeah. for me. You're like, but also there's his inverse exists. And he's like, everybody's dead.
Yeah.
You got to be on international waters if you want to live. Like, I would assume, I don't know, 99.9% life extinction. So, like, everybody had their own opinions, and some people might have been more right than others.
I miss living in a society where you couldn't instantly guess exactly what everyone thinks about everything based on political binaries.
It's so true.
I like the idea of some guy getting up and like resigning in the middle of a cabinet meeting with Clinton, and then a couple of other people looking at each other like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy?
But instead, like that, like, you don't get the job. You got the job
I know.
Because you think the world is ending, or you're like, the world will never end. The world is too good because yeah. I'm here.
Yep.
Now, I'm not going to offer this to everybody, but I'm going to throw it out now. You mentioned the extremely boring, the extremely nothing. I'm just going to give you mine, and if you want to do yours too, I'll give you my New Year's Eve 2000. So going into the next one, that year I would have been, I was born in 85. So if it's 2000, I guess I'm 15. And so I'm like a, what, sophomore, junior in high school, whatever. My sister, who is in junior high and by definition, not as cool as me, a cool high school kid, she was at some fucking party doing New Year's Eve. And I was at home doing nothing. Like, I think I was, like, down in my room reading or something. And my parents are like, I don't want to watch the thing. Who gives a shit? I got nowhere to be. And then, so she, a junior high kid, is at a party. And then she's, like, talking to one of her classmates or whatever, similar age, also very young. And she's like, my brother is so lame. He is at home doing nothing here in this wonderful, it's like, 9 o'clock December 31st, 2000. And then this kid she's talking to was like, my brother is at home playing Halo by himself. And then my sister was like, I bet Johnny would like to do that. And then she got her friend to text his brother to call me. And then I went over to play Halo at we have a lot of Matts in these circles. This yeah. is another Matt. He's never been connected to any of this. But and then he texted me. He's like, you like to play Halo, huh? And I was like, hell yeah. He's like, come over to my house. I'm playing. And just, I went to Matt's house and we played Halo. And it was amazing. And the high point of the whole evening was we finished the game, and it was so much fun. And then we looked down, and it was like, hit the new year about 45 minutes ago.
This was 2000?
No, as I told that story, I suspect I could be wrong in the year. I don't think Halo was out yet, right?
I don't know if it was out or not. So I was going to, the number one thing I was going to ask you is, were you getting texts or were you getting like pager like messages?
Oh,
because I didn't have a cell phone.
Also,
in 2000.
All the more reason. Like, as you say that, I do think it was calls and not texts. I do think it was like my sister was like, you tell your brother to call my brother.
Yeah.
They'll be fine. But also, I'm probably off here the more I think about it. In my head, the story is 2000. It's probably wrong.
When I played Halo, I never had an original Xbox, but I played all the way through the entire campaign for Halo 1 with my friend in one day at his house.
Nice.
When we were home from college for the summer after freshman year. So that would have been summer of 2002. That doesn't mean that's right when like it came out, but I don't know if it was already out like December 2000. It could have been.
I think it's a very good bet it was the next year, because I am seeing here with a quick Google that it was a launch game for Microsoft's Xbox video game console, November 15th, 2001. And so
okay.
I had another, I didn't have an Xbox, and I had another friend who had one. I had played with her, and then I bet that it was, you know, a few weeks later.
Yeah.
It was like, I need somebody to play with. I got two controllers. Get over here.
It would have been such a new hotness that.
That's exactly what it was.
This guy's house who you maybe didn't, did you know him? Like, did you even know who he was?
It was Avon, Illinois. So I literally knew everyone in the entire high school.
Oh yeah. Cause your school is like everybody from every grade. You knew everyone, right?
Exactly. Okay. But I did not, like, we were not, like, honestly, we became friends after this. It was one of the more clutch things my sister has, like, anybody's ever done for me. Kind of just added a friend to my list, and it was cool. We became friends, but it was
That's really cool.
Just like, he's playing Halo by himself. He doesn't know anybody. I'm sure Chelsea was like, I'm sure I played Halo with, we can put names out there, Deborah Crandall and her brother.
Nice.
And she was like, Johnny knows how to play that. Tell your brother, Matt, call Johnny. He'll come play Halo at your house. And boy, did I just get in my car, go play Halo with him. We had a great time.
Nice. I don't have any good, so certainly not that year or any year around that, any good New Year's stories. I never really did anything for New Year's. Like, even in college, I was always home from college, and I don't remember. I might have, like, gone over to probably that same friend's house who I just said I played Halo with at his house, like, home for the summer. We were, like, really good friends in college, and we both lived, like, 20 minutes from each other back home in Harrisburg. So I might have gone over there and done like all New Year's party with him and his brother and like other friends, but I don't have any like vivid memories of anything specific. The closest thing I have to a cool memory from high school or college from New Year's was I hosted New Year's once at my house, which was unusual. But the reason I did it, like they, those same guys, like that guy, his brother, our other friend came over because, was it my senior? It might have been my senior year of college. But like in the middle of the year, home for Christmas. And I was friends with these Japanese exchange students who were staying at Penn State, you know, for the whole year. Mm-hmm. And they get kicked out of the dorms because they don't have any RAs. No one's allowed to stay there. But flying back to Japan just to go home for like 3 weeks was like $1,500 to $2,000.
Outrageous, yeah.
Some kids' parents would just pay for it. But some of the girls were like, I'm not fucking doing this. Like, so they went and like went to New York City. They went to like New York City. Like they instead of spending that money just to fly home.
You can spend the same money or even less and do any number of amazing things.
Yeah, they went to like New York City and Philadelphia or something. But that even then, that was only like a week. So then they came and stayed at my house just to kill the rest of the time. And then we would go back up to Penn State together. So they were there on New Year's Eve. So my friends came over. We just didn't do it. It was just like, you know, 6 to 8 people just drank, hung out. And didn't have anything to do except like play card games and talk and get drunk and be loud. And they taught us all how to count to 10 in Japanese, which even though we were all drunk, we learned. And I still remember how to do it.
You want to do it?
Yeah, I'm not gonna. Maybe I'll do it wrong now that I'm on the spot. But I think it's Ichi ni san shi go roku nana hachi kyu ju.
Sound good to my ear.
Don't fact check this. This is a
Pat.
This
that means a, you. I don't hear a fucking word about this.
Who actually speaks Japanese? So, yeah. Ironically, the person who you know would fact check me can do it without even doing any research. But then my one friend disappeared halfway through the night and went upstairs and threw up on the floor of my bedroom on the carpet. And then my other friend's younger brother was like, I need to help him. So he got my parents' toaster out and burned some toast on purpose to make him eat burnt toast to help with his upset stomach, which my mom smelled and woke up at like 4 o'clock in the morning and came out and asked if we had like set something on fire.
Is the house burning down? Am I having a stroke? There's so many great options here.
Yeah. And that's when my friend was like, his hands were covered in like crumbles of burnt toast. And he was like, no, we have to get going though. And like hit his brother, drove him home.
Oh boy.
And then I went upstairs and went to sleep after helping my friend clean up the floor. And he just slept on the floor all night in my bedroom. And then I took him back to his house the next day.
I'm sure your mom's like, oh, boy, when are your friends coming back over, Charlie? What a wonderful night.
Yeah.
Jeez. It's a great story. And perhaps we'll get a similarly great story out of our next segment, which is, Charlie, would you like to add a song to the I Like This Better 70s podcast playlist?
So I seriously considered asking to be on earlier so my song wouldn't get taken. But I was like, hopefully Bill won't be on before me.
Oh no.
Then Bill was on before me. But thank you, Bill, for not taking my song.
So somehow, some way, you made it through, but you specifically targeted Bill. When you saw the Bill podcast come through, you were like, oh no, I'm ruined.
The only person I thought would probably take my song would be Bill, but there's no guarantee. It's just a song he might pick. And then I decided to call an audible anyway in case he took my song.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the song I'm actually going to pick is not the song I think he would have picked anyway.
I'd love to hear both, but it's up to you if you want to tell us both.
Well, when I originally heard that this was a 70s podcast, I don't know shit about music as it is, let alone 70s music. So I went to like start looking for music I like
okay.
to see if any of it was actually from the 70s. And there was a band.
Mozart, not that much.
Right. right. But it turns out that a band I like called the Talking Heads was around in the late 70s.
They even named one of their albums after that decade.
Talking Heads 77
is
from the 70s, unsurprisingly.
Who can
and the song
it?
That I thought Bill was going to pick was on there, which is the song I thought I was going to pick. But then I decided to look more into what else they released in the 70s. Now, I like the Stop Making Sense live album the most, and that was not in the 70s.
Yep.
So I can't pick the live version of a song or those songs from that album. But a song that I like, that the live version was released, and it's a cover, so I hope that doesn't mess anything up, but their 1978 album, More Songs About Buildings and Food, includes their cover of Take Me to the River, that's my song.
Hell yeah, it's so good.
I thought Bill would take Stop Making, or Psycho Killer, which is on Talking Heads 77.
Take Me to the River is so much fun. And like you say, is the definitive version the Stop Making Sense version? Probably. But first off, the game is not add the definitive version of a song. You're adding a very good version of a song to this playlist. I love this song. I think it's great.
I certify that it is now my favorite song on the playlist. Even more so than that Darkness song that I sang at Tara's karaoke birthday party a couple weeks ago.
Hell yeah. Really good song, right?
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like it's from the 70s.
I know it. Well, they have a very 70s glam rock vibe.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen when John Huber listens to this? Or it, maybe your answer is, I will have died of old age 300 years before that. So I am not concerned.
I don't know if he's going to like encyclopedically binge back through all of these, but when he finds out that that song is on there, I don't think he's going to like care.
I think he might kill me.
I don't know him as well as you, but I just get the impression that he'll just be like, hey man, you just listen to what you like. And then you're going to be like, no, we broke the rules. And he's like, rules are for suckers, man.
This is a very, I feel like even like your tone of voice there, very hubris, which makes a lot of sense. It's like, yeah, you cared about that a lot, huh? That's cool.
Yeah.
You must really like that song if you put that on there. Good job
this
by you.
This is certainly the way I would imagine Mike doing it. So I think it's the way John would do it, which is to just be like, when you have to like keep goading him into responding, he would just be like, if you don't like the song, just take it off the playlist, man.
That's a good point by you. You should take that song back off the playlist if you want.
Yeah.
No, you're probably exactly right. But if you're wrong, I will be found dead in a ditch. So it's exciting for me. Well, Charlie, I think that's a wonderful addition to the playlist. Okay, Charlie, it's time for our next segment. What sauce are you bringing to the table this week?
Well, I know this is a no judgment zone.
You got that right.
We've got everything from applesauce to laundry sauce. So
the two best sauces. So you're really running the gamut there.
Yeah. I'm going to just put a hard reset on everyone's expectations, and everyone can just go from here from now on.
Hell yeah.
Back from zero to wherever they want to go. And my sauce is ketchup.
Ketchup. I love it. Now, before you even get into it, one of the best things about that, I have to call out. You look at that logo.
Mm-hmm.
Ketchup is right there.
It's a big ketchup bottle.
By definition, might be the primary sauce. So we're very excited to have ketchup. Charlie, why are you bringing ketchup to the table this week?
I made some fried potato wedges with minced garlic, olive oil, salt, and herbs de Provence. I cut up red potatoes into wedges, fried them in my air fryer, got them out. I was like making it was a side for something. I forget what it was. And then Tara was like, oh my God, everything smells so good. She just got back from work. We're binge watching 30 Rock DVDs that she got us because I never finished that series, even though I liked it a lot. And I remember she was like, do we have ketchup? And it hadn't occurred to me that she would want to put ketchup on the potato wedges. And I was like, yeah, of course, but sure. And I brought it and I put some on mine. I was like, I don't know why I didn't think of this. It's basically like French fries. And I was eating and I was like, ketchup pretty much makes everything better that it goes with. And that's why so many people like it, but it's also why it's so common that it gets dragged. But you know, ketchup's also versatile. Ketchup's just like a overly sugary tomato sauce. Mm-hmm. So you can make curry ketchup, for example, or mix it with something else to make another condiment. And it's just like you said, it's like the original sauce.
Yeah, it's a truly wonderful thing. And I can't think of a better testament to ketchup than being like, yeah, I got that herb de Provence on there. Do a little ketchup too.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. If it can handle that, it can handle everything.
Yeah.
Except hot dogs. You put ketchup on that hot dog?
So when I was a kid, ketchup always on hot dogs. Mm-hmm.
Same.
I got older and I wouldn't always put ketchup on hot dogs, but I would not have an issue with somebody putting ketchup on hot dogs. But I like yellow mustard, minced white onions, and relish better.
That's but I also like perfect hot dog.
I also like the just get crazy like hot dog bar. Like, because I did this one time for 4th of July. This was probably like 10 years ago with a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He kept telling me about this like hot dog place back in Clarion, PA. You know Brett? My friend Brett.
Sure thing.
There was this like one man hot dog stand that like he went to all the time in high school when he was home from college. I think one day he went there after college and like it was just closed because the guy retired and that's just it. And that's the end of the place. But he would make all these different kinds of hot dogs. He would make taco dogs with just like smashed up like tortilla chips and like some kind of like zesty nacho cheese sauce.
There you go. Yeah.
So, like, I love the idea of just, like, making stuff however you want. And if you're going to do all kinds of crazy stuff, then there's no room to be a snob about ketchup, because it's just one more thing you could doctor however you want. You know, do you want the ketchup as – we want a curry ketchup hot dog? You can make a currywurst sausage dog or something like that. Like, I mean, you could do anything.
I have definitely talked about this on the show before. Now, obviously, I don't eat a lot of hot dogs these days, so we're talking about hot dog proper adjacent things. But when I was a kid, ketchup or ketchup and mustard, but really just ketchup was the hot dog thing. And then at some point, I was like, this is kind of too sweet and just overwhelms everything. And like my favorite thing about the hot dog is like the smoky, savory aspect. And I don't think the ketchup highlights that at all. And in fact, boy, like you say, like it, for me then, it was usually just mustard and relish, but that and some onions is the truth. It's so good. But also, fucking the idea that somebody's going to come to your house and tell you, or you go to a place and give them money and they're like, but actually you ordered bad. So you're like, did you notice how I gave you money? When I give you the money, you take it and you shut the fuck up. And like, whatever, like, how dare you tell me now how to eat a ketchup? There's a million different ways that when I eat something and taste something, it's different than when someone else does it. You clearly like that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have ordered it. Very stupid to tell people, well, that's not allowed. And you have done the bad thing. And I hate you. Moronic. Mm-hmm. It's all for show. It's stupid. Whatever. But I'm not putting ketchup on my veggie sausages, Vienna or otherwise. But it's all good stuff. Put stuff on there that you like. The stuff you described is great. And also, curry ketchup, like one of the better flavor combinations. Like I remember when Gina and I lived in St. Paul, Minnesota, there was a place we used to go for brunch trivia that would do any number of different things, but then have like all these little American fries on the side. And then you could choose your choice of sauce. And one of them was curry ketchup. And goddamn, did they just, just everything you ever wanted. I love curry ketchup so much, but that's a mere subset of I love ketchup so much. It's like, oh, you don't like ketchup on your hot dog. Well, I don't like it on my pancakes either. That doesn't mean that hot dogs or pancakes or ketchup is bad. Everything where it belongs. For me, that's some things. And for you, it's a hot dog. Be sure to eat that. Eat things. Eat what you dig. Wear what you dig. Things of that nature. Bill Kalish loves talking about that. And it's all true. So ketchup, amazing sauce. So glad to have it. Like I'm eating a lot of ketchup, but do I ever think like, eating too much? No, I'm never eating too much ketchup.
I need to buy more ketchup when I go to the store tomorrow, I think. Because we finished off the ketchup with those potato wedges. It was like a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So I bought two more bottles. But I made potato wedges again as a side when I made the sheet biscuits. Well, that ketchup bottle, it was like a normal size, like kind of, you know, small bottle. It's just gone. I bought two, so there's this another one, but I don't want to be down to one. I want to have backup ketchup.
The moment when you realize you thought you had it and you don't is so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to – this could be controversial because we are delving into real sauce talk here. But I will say there are four sauces that I always have to have in my house, that I always assume are in my house, and I am always disappointed. Obviously I'm making tons of different things, but I assume they're there. And if I make something and I find out it's not there, I'm disappointed.
Can I guess?
This is a great way to do it. Yes.
I'm almost positive I'm not going to get them because I think there's going to be at least one wild card. But I'm going to be conservative and try to just get like the center cluster.
Sure.
You know, and I'm going to guess it's ketchup, that's mustard, one, mayo, and ranch.
I think it will be surprising to many that you've only got two of four. mayo, I always want to be there, but I am much less frequently assuming it's there or putting it on stuff that I'm not checking before. And then also mustard. Mm-hmm. Now, boy, do I love mustard. Boy, is it important. But it, the ketchup and the ranch were the two. Do you want to do two more guesses? Or do you want to just hear it?
I think I do, but now it's really like shot in the dark kind of situation.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that one of them is like some kind of sauce that you would use that you kind of like cook with, like either plum sauce, like hoisin sauce or peanut sauce or something like that. Something that would be good in vegetarian dishes, like Asian style vegetarian dishes. Is there something in that realm?
You're definitely in the right range.
Okay.
For one of them.
I mean, like, I'm not, is it like that Squid Brand fish sauce?
Well, unfortunately, no, because okay. Gina hates that shit.
Yeah.
And so, well, like, if I had my druthers, yes, that would be in fucking everything. But
if it was like jar of peanut sauce to make just like something with peanut sauce, like that would have been way more palatable.
Peanut sauce is close, but the problem with peanut sauce is I am very particular about it, and I only like it when I make it from scratch.
Okay.
And so, like, I have no interest in like the peanut sauce from the store. And so, like, if I did, I would eat way more peanut sauce, but I don't really like that. I like when I make it, and I'm not making it every day because, especially, you're putting like cups of peanut butter and you gotta use the spatula and get it. It's very annoying to make. So I'm just not having peanut sauce as often as if I could have a squeeze bottle of peanut sauce, it was my preference. Oh my God. I'd have it three times a week.
Yeah. Is it soy sauce?
It's soy sauce. That's one of them. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Soy sauce. I just like anytime, like soy sauce is a straight up. I'm making dinner. I don't have soy sauce. Turn the burner off. I'm walking to the store. This fucking sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like do need it.
When I want it, and I want it multiple times a week.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm probably missing. Maybe it's more obvious than I'm.
I kind of think it's more obvious, but maybe it's only more obvious to my Midwestern sensibilities. Although we already did ranch, so like that would be the most obvious.
Like marshmallow fluff sauce.
And that's what I have for dessert every night, laying in bed on my back, straight into my mouth.
No, but for making casseroles that are called salads that are really like candy.
It's ambrosia salad. Have you heard of it? How dare you?
Yeah. We have a Tara's sister came to play in our D&D game last week and literally made Midwestern salads, two different kinds, because her character is this Midwestern mom.
You get Green Goddess in there?
She made like some kind of frozen strawberry thing and something else that had like a pretzel like crust. Both had to be gluten free so that Tara could eat them. So she had to change the recipes. Also gelatin free. She couldn't use Jell-O because it has gelatin and they're both vegetarians. They can't eat something with gelatin in it or they'll be super sick because they were raised vegetarian since birth.
Sure.
They were both filled with cream cheese and shit.
Was the pretzel one also having strawberry?
Oh yeah. So instead of strawberry,
I fucking love
real,
that shit.
The real recipe is strawberry Jell-O, but she just used real strawberries.
Yeah,
that was so good.
I've had both versions of that. I've never made it, but I fucking love that shit. That's so good.
I'm not a big sugar person. Like I don't eat a lot of desserts or candy. In fact, when I do, I end up usually getting a headache. I was like getting a headache and still like, eating more
on
of that
purpose.
Shit.
I want this headache. I'm going to live with this headache.
It was too much, but I couldn't stop. It was so good. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's amazing.
If it's not marshmallow sauce, you're going to have to just give me the fourth one.
My last one that is required to be in the house is barbecue sauce.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. See, I'm
very basic.
I like barbecue sauce just fine, and I like never buy it. I almost never use it. When I make wings, I always make just Frank's Red Hot wings. I don't make barbecue.
If you wanted to extend to a fifth, the Frank's Red Hot, like especially like, it's really, I require, like, in the fridge, we have a goodly number of hot sauces, but like, there's like all these fun things, but also Frank's Red Hot, because like, that's, mm-hmm. that's always the baseline. Like, really what we're talking about here is these are the sauces that when I take it out and I use some and I notice it's low, I immediately just write on the whiteboard, buy more of this now. Do not wait until it's gone. And even like, mayonnaise and mustard are not quite there. They're close to that, but like, I can just feel like I'm not using them as frequently. These others are like, this is not, I might have one or two more uses. Put mm-hmm. on the board the next time you're at the store, no question, buy this again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your barbecue sauce of choice?
The Sweet Baby Ray's. I don't fuck around. It's not,
it's
obviously not interesting, and I know there's better stuff. But at this point, the better stuff is so fucking expensive.
Is it?
Yeah. I cannot believe the amount of money people are spending on stuff. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stick with this. I'm going to buy the biggest bottle they got. But look at the little thing on the thing that says, it's 38 cents per whatever. Okay, good. We're still good. But like, I'm just buying the big thing of that. That's all I need.
I mean, I don't know what barbecue sauce snob is going to give you a shit about Sweet Baby Ray's, because when I, you know, I used, like I said, I'm not the biggest barbecue sauce person. So I would take it or leave it for like whatever barbecue sauces were around when we were kids. And then I had Sweet Baby Ray's. I think I was in college, because I think my uncle used some to make some tailgate food when we were going to a football game, and I was, you know, already up there, and my dad, my uncle would drive up. And as soon as I had that, I was like, oh, okay, this is just the best barbecue sauce there is. Right?
That's easy. I can just check that off. I don't worry about this anymore. That's the one I want.
So even if people want some other niche barbecue sauce that they like better, because they're like, oh no, I want it like really vinegary, or I want Carolina Gold style or whatever, like that's fine. Okay, then you don't use Sweet Baby Ray's for that. But in my opinion, Sweet Baby Ray's is basically just the standard. And mm-hmm. then if you want something interesting, you do something else. But you don't regress back below that and get some like trash store brand like that's in like a ranch dressing bottle, like, because it's going to be so much worse. I feel the same way about Tito's. That's just the baseline reasonable vodka now. You don't go buy fucking Aristocrat when you can get Tito's and it's not very expensive and it's infinitely better.
I completely agree. Like, I do not buy that much vodka, but when I buy vodka, it is a handle of Tito's.
Right.
It's like, there's no reason I need to have Tito's in my house. I'm going to buy a ton of it because it is cheaper to buy a ton at once. And it'll be there for a while, because I'm probably going to make I want to make some interesting cocktail, and I'm going to make three or four of them, probably three, two for me, one for Gina. And then there's just going to be a bunch of Tito's there for a while. But like, I'm not interested in, I want the cheapest per volume, whatever. Put it in there. Tito's is what's up. Now, everybody loves the Costco vodkas, but I don't have access to Costco. Maybe if I had Costco access, I'd be having that instead. But I don't.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I don't have a Costco membership, and there's not many Costcos near me either. But there's one in DC, and also they wouldn't sell alcohol. And the ones in Virginia, they don't sell alcohol.
Sure.
They wouldn't in Pennsylvania either, or Maryland. But there's one Costco in DC on the extreme eastern side of DC, and it does sell alcohol because they don't have such draconian liquor laws. And I know a guy who has a Costco membership, and we have driven the 45 minutes from my house to the Costco two times now. And I bought like $600 worth of alcohol when we were there, because it was like Handle of Four Roses. Have you ever seen a Handle of Four Roses?
No.
I don't think I had ever
seen
that.
Sometimes you see the liter bottle and you're excited by that, but the handle, oh my God.
It doesn't have a handle. It's a really awkwardly shaped giant bottle of Yellow Label Four Roses. Also, I got a handle size French, in quotes, French vodka. So it is from France, but it's like, that's what it's called. It's called Kirkland.
They do French
brand
and American,
French
right? Is that the whole thing with the vodka?
Yeah, and it tastes like Grey Goose, and a lot of people rumor it's Grey Goose. So I got a whole bunch of different of these Costco alcohols, tried them, some really disappointing. The Canadian whiskey is clearly not Crown Royal. And I'm not putting Crown Royal on a big pedestal.
I hate Canadian whiskey, even
it's so
in its
bad.
Best form. Fuck that.
It's not good. But the vodka is good. I got a tequila. I got an Añejo tequila. I was like, this is perfectly good.
Nice.
I got the Obviously, the Four Roses is actually Four Roses. It's not Kirkland brand.
Right,
but
right,
the
right.
price is insane. The price per ounce is insane for that. But then I watched a sommelier on YouTube taste test all the Costco liquors.
Oh, boy.
And he had a couple stinkers, but almost all of them, he was like, this is either a good enough deal or an insane deal. He would be like, the French vodka, for example, he was like, I would just buy this from now on. The American vodka, he was like, this is even cheaper than Tito's. It's perfectly good. You know, if you have Costco, you should just get this instead of Tito's because it's just as good. And one of the tequilas, he was like, this is really actually good.
Really?
Yeah. Like wow. Something where it's going to be like, they're going to silently not have this version anymore at some point because it's like they really got a deal on some good tequila.
Man, I knew that bartenders regarded both the vodkas as very legit, and that occasionally there'd be like weird Costco scotches that came through that they would think were good. But I didn't know that it was basically everything, especially that tequila, and especially just having real Four Roses is extremely my standard bourbon that I keep around. That's amazing. I don't know where the fucking nearest Costco is to me. But this makes me very inclined to sort that out.
Yeah. What was the one? Oh, I actually bought a bottle of what the label claims is Kirkland Signature 15-year single malt scotch.
Oh, I'm very excited to hear about how this went.
For like, I don't know, $30 or whatever.
And this is how big a bottle?
Regular, just a normal 750.
But still, like it claiming to be a single malt for $30 is
15-year single malt.
Hey, boy, I didn't even realize. So a 15-year single malt for $30 is outrageous.
Yeah. So I was like, I cannot wait to be disappointed by this, and to the point where I'm like, that's not what this is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what I think of it. It's perfectly fine, and it's well worth $30 or whatever. It is not going to be like any other 15-year single malt whiskey you buy at the store for twice that price. It's just not. It's like very mild. It's like, but again, for whatever, I might be wrong about the $30. It might have been $35 or $38 or something, but still it's absurdly inexpensive for what it's claiming to be, but it's worth that price, but it's also not worth twice that price.
I mean, honestly, you would expect like even like 10 or 12 to be more than 30, 35, 38.
Yeah. It's like
you're not getting like Glenfiddich or Glenmorangie or whatever for like the most base one they have. It's like, that's $47.
Yeah.
As like the 15-year claim seems like a lie or bad in some other way, but still like a bottle of something identifiable as scotch that you would be okay with drinking for $30, $35, $38. That's a good deal just with that.
That's just what it's for. It's just, that's its own thing. It's not, I don't know who makes it obviously, but whatever it is, it's not going to blow your socks off and be your new favorite scotch. If you like scotch in the first place, but you're not going to buy anything else for $38 at the store that's from Scotland. That's going to be any better than that.
Stuff like that has gotten so rough. I remember I used to go – like you used to be able to find like Laphroaig for like $40, and now it's like $55. And it's just like outrageously more expensive. And so it's just like I kind of just like I don't really buy stuff like that anymore. But something at that – I really what it is like if I'm going to buy it, I want to wait until I'm excited about it and I've got something I specifically want. And you just – you spend – $70 or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm
going to show you something.
Throw whatever. What do you got? Charlie, getting up and walking around. We got something exciting happening.
I ordered a bunch of the shit that Alex tipped us off to.
Alex's stuff. What's this website called?
Like Whiskey. Whiskey Trader? No, wait. Let me. I can just look at my.
We'll find it out. But either way. No, that sure looks like Lagavulin 16 to me. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what's
up. That
was
like half price on that website.
Damn.
And then this, I recommend this, by the way.
I don't know this stuff.
I want to try to say it, but I'm really going to be struggling. Bunahabin, okay. I think.
There's a lot of letters. I'm not familiar with this, but it's a pretty bottle.
I got it. I got this Bunahabin at my liquor store to give to a friend as a birthday present, or maybe it was a Christmas present. And then we tried it, and I was like, "Oh shit, this is actually good. It was well worth the experiment." So when I saw it for like less than half price on that website, I was like, well, "I'm just going to immediately buy 3 bottles of that."
I'll have that in my house real soon.
And that's how I saved a lot of money on that website. So you can see it's like the UK version because it has a giant UK pink
and
like.
Honestly, that makes it look more cool.
It is way cooler.
I would prefer that all the bottles in my house have that on them.
Yeah, it's really cool. So yeah, I want to. I'll save it for the end of the podcast. But I'm going to plug.
You got an exciting plug coming up. I like it. Well, let's get on our way to that. I think it's time to do an exciting and interesting segment. And I don't really know how this is going to go. I've had this on the list for a while. I want to talk about names used as shorthand or nicknames for other things. And I think we can get into this quickly to illustrate what I'm talking about, because I feel personally about some of these. So, and as an example, I would say that the name John is often used to describe like a, I don't know. Do you think John means the bathroom or it means the toilet? Or
I think
both.
It means the toilet.
I kind of think it's the toilet, yeah.
When someone says they need to use the John.
I hit the John. They're not going to run into the door and piss on the door.
Probably. Well, it depends on the person.
And how bad they got to use it.
That's a good point.
But I shudder to say the John, a John also means like a client of a sex worker.
Also so, a bit scatological.
You can see already how excited I am to rank these things because my name is John. And so I made a list of other ones I thought of. And then I want to rank. We'll hear from you. If you, I by no means am I pressuring you to think of more. But if you think of others, we can hear those too. But I also want to kind of like rank. Who's got it the worst? If your name is one of these things, which do you least want to have? Here are some more. Molly, that means MDMA, drugs. That one's good. That one's a positive. You'd like to be named that. Dick, that means your dick. Baby, part of it is that one is so direct. So commonly used that it's not now that also one thing we can go a lot of ways with this. John, I guess I often go by Johnny. My name is not Jonathan, but maybe some people it is. Molly, you probably have some alternatives. I think
I don't know. Is there a full version?
I assume
of Molly?
Molly is short for something, but in this moment, do I know what it is?
Malthanew.
Yeah.
Martholomew.
Yeah, it's Martholomew. Yeah, everybody agrees. Now, would it shock you if Molly was somehow short for Mary?
No, not at all. And I hate when names work like that, too.
I was reading some the other day, and it was like Miriam. It was like, this is the same as Mary. And it's like, fuck, it is.
Miriam is supposed to be Mary?
I think it's a nickname for Mary.
No shit. My aunt's name is Miriam, and I've never heard anybody call her anything but Miriam my whole life.
Yeah. But I guess it could be like John was once short for Jonathan, and right. Now they're just not as aligned. Some people are just named Miriam, and some people are named Mary and go by Miriam. Now, should you start calling people stuff based on this? No. We do not know what we are talking about. Here's another one. Now, this is a little bit more of a stretch, but I think it still counts. You got to be worried about the peeping Tom. That's like a creepy guy watching you go to the bathroom or being naked or something. I probably didn't need to explain that, but I think that is still within the same range as this.
Yeah.
I've got another one. It's Charlie. Remember Vietnam? Charlie, if you're from America, you don't want to run into Charlie. You in fact, hate Charlie because he is on the other side.
You know where they got that from?
They got that from.
If you're on the radio and you're saying that you're getting attacked by the VC, the Viet Cong, the military like radio phonetic alphabet, Victor Charlie is Viet Cong.
Wow, I had no idea of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. I got
Victor's getting away scot-free with this, by the way.
Yeah, Victor, lucky, yeah. Trying to think, Victor, Vic.
Victor literally means you are the victor. Like, that is a
winning
common
guy.
Noun. So Victor is going to got to be on this list because Victor is a name, but Victor is, you know, you're the victor of the match or whatever.
Okay. But, I mean, that might be the best one to have.
No shit.
Now, I want to put this up there for the worst one. This is one that's not as familiar to a lot of people, but Pat the Rat. If your name's Pat, you're a big rat, and everyone hates you.
Well, and also Pat just is like a verb, like to pat something.
There's so many ways it's bad to have that as your name.
Like a pat down.
Yeah, and a pat down. Man, good point. Didn't even think of that one. So that's probably the worst. But of the other, now, first off, are there any others that come to mind? Like, I've had this list going for a while. I don't feel like I'm encountering a lot of other names that are just used as shorthand for other things. Do you have anything?
I definitely have been sitting here writing them down as I think of them while you're going through.
Hell yeah,
list.
What do you got?
So Jack is a verb, like
jacking it.
But it's
also jack of all trades.
And as car equipment, you use a jack to jack your car up. And a jack is actually a toy too, like if you played jacks.
Man, I kind of want to be, I think Jack might be a pretty positive one on the whole.
Jack is versatile and frustratingly to me, because I hate when names are completely changed to another name as a nickname. Jack is a nickname for John.
It might
so
as well
just
be John.
Be Jack.
Yeah.
If you want to be Jack, you literally could just decide that you're going to go by Jack from now on.
I remember for a long, two things. I remember for a long time being really confused when I would hear people talk, like there are all of these, I was like in junior high or so, and I would hear all of these stories about like, well, there's Robert F. Kennedy. And there's
right.
Bobby Kennedy, and there's John F. Kennedy, and there's Jack Kennedy, and it turned out it was two guys.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought there were like so many Kennedys getting killed. Also, I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast before, perhaps I have. In undergrad, I had a friend. So I, before in high school and before that, I was usually known as Johnny. And then in undergrad, I had a friend who was his birth name was Gianni, G-I-A-N-N-I, and because he had one Italian parent and one Guatemalan parent, and so his name did not shorten to John, he just was Gianni, and so I had to be John in our friend group, and then so I had not been Johnny for a minute. And I really sincerely considered, should I tell everybody in law school my name is Jack Rhodes?
That would have been pretty cool.
I didn't do it, but sometimes I still kind of wish I had. I could just be Jack. Like,
you should have told that other kid that his name is Gian because you are.
No, I actually did tell him that as a joke, and he was stronger than me. Also, one time he punched me in the face as hard as he could.
Maybe you don't have to change your name based on what somebody punches you in the face.
It was we were long friends at that point. But it also illustrates that I wasn't telling that guy shit. So I wasn't gonna be Johnny and him Gian, but I could have been Jack. I could still be Jack.
Yeah, anytime you want.
Jackson, now, would you call me Jack if I started demanding you did? I don't think anybody
probably
would do that
not.
For once. Everybody, yeah. Funny joke, Johnny. Fuck you.
I will call you that as soon as I start calling Twitter X.
That's very much what it feels like, yeah. It's like, oh, you got some funny ideas about your name? That's cute. Don't care.
You mentioned Bobby, but that's a British cop, so that has a double.
Ooh, Bobby's such a good one.
And we were talking about Huber earlier. Mike is what people call a microphone.
Yep. I'm. It's a different spelling, but I think that absolutely counts. Mike is good.
Ray is like a beam, like a ray of sunshine.
Yep. And honestly, Ray is fun, both male or female. Like mm-hmm. that R-A-E Ray you get sometimes. I think that's a good luck. I like that.
This is a stretch because I'm not sure if this is what it means, but I think it means this. Lee, isn't the lee side of something like the side that faces the wind, like the lee side of a ship or an island?
If that is the case, I don't know it, but I am certainly not confident enough to tell you that that is incorrect. And also, Pat the Rat, do not let us know what is correct about that.
If we're getting Peeping Tom in there, then I'm going to also say that Missy, which is a real name for that people name their kids for some reason, is also just kind of like a slang for a young lady that accusatorily you refer to a woman as, like your daughter as Missy. Like when
where have you been, Missy?
Yes, when you're talking
that
shit.
That was definitely a thing my mom would be happy to shout at people. Exactly, just as you describe, as like a young woman who does not have the authority to talk back to you is Missy in any circumstance. It's like an elongated miss. Yeah, that's definitely real. I think you landed on some really good ones. When you've heard the whole list, which one would you least like to have associated with your name?
The meaning? The like other meaning?
I guess what it really is which most demeans the original name.
I think the one that was most intended was John, because didn't people literally start that because they hated Prince John, who was a real person in England?
I don't know anything about this. You got to tell me about this.
Well, Richard the Lionheart was off in the Crusades, like the Third or Fourth Crusade from England. And his brother, Prince John, had to ratchet up the taxes that they were putting on all of the people to try to spring Richard out of, like, being imprisoned illegally by some Austrian nobleman or some shit. Because he was on his way back from the Crusades and just got, like, hijacked, locked in a tower. And the like, Archduke of some place in Austria was like, I'll let you out when your country ponies up some money. And he was locked up there for like a year or more, I think. And Prince John was like taxing the people to death, trying to get money to spring his dumb brother out of jail. And they blamed John. They were like, this guy's a piece of shit. So they started calling all the toilets John. So they could, when they pissed on it, they were like, I'm going to go piss on John.
God
and then
damn.
That's literally a joke in like Robin Hood Men in Tights.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure this is in that. I did not know that was actually based in like reality.
What you got to realize is that the things that people would think were funny like 400 years ago are definitely not any more sophisticated than like a Mel Brooks joke. So I'm pretty sure that was actually how that happened.
Have you heard this joke about what happens if you unscrew your belly button?
I heard it from your show.
Have you ever heard that before? Is that a real joke?
That's definitely not a joke that I've ever heard, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least if that was something someone thought was like the funniest joke in like the 20s.
So fucking stupid, but it says it in the end notes of Moby Dick that it's a real joke.
Whoa, that's terrible.
It's the dumbest joke I've ever heard. I cannot believe how bad it is.
I've been really entertained lately. I have been looking at a subreddit called like 100 years ago. People will literally post newspaper articles and like newspaper cartoons and Ask the Man on the Street articles, all stuff from 1924. It's really,
really not that long ago too. Really, like people were the same as we are now.
You'd be surprised at how when they ask the man on the street and it's both men and women, things about like, should women be allowed to cut their hair into the bob haircut? Like that was one of them. That was a real question. And the questions were, they paid someone like $100 if they used their question that they mailed in as their suggested question. And I looked it up and that was like, it's like $4,000 or something. So people were getting paid bang to write stupid questions that the newspapers would publish. And for whatever reason, the one newspaper that they almost always publish the like man on the street questions is definitely in Chicago, because they don't show the newspaper, but it's always like, this person's on like North Clark Street, and this person we talked to at the bank on Wabash, and this person is on, like, you know, Wacker Drive or whatever. And you'd be surprised at how, like, woke people are in 1924. But it'd be like a guy who's like, man, the only people that don't want women to cut their haircuts like that are, like, sleazebag, like, guys that don't let their wives leave the house and crazy nut preachers. And it's like, shit, that would be the answer today, like, too.
Damn, I could be friends with that guy. Good job by you, guy. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, who's trying to, like, be a weirdo today about, like, what people can do with their bodies? Exactly the people that he's talking about.
Obvious conservative criminals and, like, religious extremists. That's who I don't like. That's amazing. It is a unfortunate outcome that the John thing is the worst. But that is, I'll be completely honest, that's where this whole idea came from, is I wanted to think of one that was worse than John, and I never did. And you thought of more ideas, and like, none of these worse than that. Tough break for me and my name.
Let me just say, out of the ones we talked about, mostly, I would say John is the, because it's the most intentional.
They wanted to mean the name.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not the worst because people are still commonly named John. And whenever I talk to someone and I say John or think about the name John, I don't think about that double meaning. that's worse, but that's not because the name has been made to mean a common noun. The worst one is Dick, because you see how passe, people don't name their kids Dick anymore. And that's because that is the actual worst one.
My mom's complete shithead piece of garbage stepfather was named Richard Ingalls, but went by Dick Ingalls his whole life. Mm-hmm. And she was like, he had the right name.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that guy.
You ever heard anybody name their kid Dick anymore?
If you did, you'd be like, well, should you get to keep having a kid? Like,
right.
Seems like you don't like your kid very much. So that's bad for you and your kid.
Yeah, that's clearly the worst one.
Yeah. But wait, Pat the Rat?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty bad.
I think that Jack is worse than that, and sadly that's also a name for John.
Damn it.
Because I think that if your name was Jack, you would definitely get a lot of jokes about Jack in it if you were in, like, sixth grade with a bunch of scumbag kids.
Do you think it's meaningful that Vietnam is the war we respect the least, and we just got right over Charlie and it just remained fine?
That's another one where, like, I don't ever think about that really.
Yeah, exactly. But if that had been World War II, I bet we would still think about it.
Maybe. Well, Jerry is what they called the Germans. I don't think people think about Jerry.
Do you hear that much Jerry these days, though?
No, but I don't think it's because it's associated with anything, because, like, Jerry in Parks and Rec, did you think, like, immediately that, like, oh, he's got a name?
Like, oh, this fucking German freak. No, I obviously did not actually think that. I think that's a good point, that maybe the worst stuff, just it is allowed to overcome it. But when it's in your own homeland, you're never going to give it up. You're just going to it's going to stick for generation after generation. But as you say, John's still being thrown around. Somebody comes up to you and says, I'm Dick Yorty. I'm Dick Rhodes. You're like, what, really? Why? Yeah. Obviously, don't be that.
Yeah, like anybody.
You have options. Do the other options.
Would just be Richard.
Yeah.
Because they would not want to go by
and,
Dick.
Then or Rick or Ricky. Right. Like, there's so many. Like, is Ricky a great name? No. It's not fucking Dick, though.
Right.
Yeah. I think you're right. Dick and Pat the Rat are the worst. Charlie, it's time for our final segment. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I'm gonna cheat if I can and plug Whiskey World, because I looked it up in my email. So plug Whiskey World, email alex@californiaguy.com if you want to find out more about Whiskey World. I highly recommend it, because I did. But the other thing I was gonna plug is it's I think I should get to, because the second thing is like a nothing. Obviously, I'm gonna plug Go See Dune Part 2. It was possibly one of the best movies, like the best sci-fi movies made. Maybe ever, like certainly in the past like 20 years. And I love the first one, and I I think I like this one even more, but I don't think I was immediately like, it's so much better, because I thought the first one was really good. I heard people say they thought the first one was too slow. Well, okay, not every – it has a lot of battles and people dying, so I don't know how slow that could be. But, like, the fact that it's at all contemplative is such a refreshing style of movie that Denis Villeneuve made compared to, like, you know, even Christopher Nolan movies are so frantic at this point. It's like – please, somebody make a movie where there's like some space to breathe in between action. And this movie has really, really good action, really, really good, slow, interesting, contemplative parts that adds gravity to that.
I think it's a wonderful plug. I'm really excited to see Dune 2. I have seen Dune 1 three times. Do you know when I can watch Dune 2 on my iPad?
I think probably the first one made it to like physical media faster than you would expect because of two things. One, it was still pretty pandemic-y at the time. And two, specifically it was supposed to not have that long of a theatrical release. It was supposed to be to streaming because there was that really brief period of time where like HBO was like,
yeah,
we're going to get you that movie in like 3 or 4 weeks, yep, or maybe like 6 weeks, but for sure you're going to be able to.
We can't tell what makes money. This makes subscriptions go up, even though everybody interested is already subscribing, right?
Right.
No, it does not make subscriptions go up. What makes money go up is people go to the movie theater and watch the movie.
Yep. And like that movie was a hit even with everything against it in the whole world.
Yep.
So then this movie came out and it's doing great. And I'm sure they're going to milk the theatrical run as long as they can. So I'm guessing it's going to be longer than you'd like.
I'll tell my extremely brief story about why I haven't seen it. One, I watched one of my three viewings of Dune was with Gina, and she really liked it. And then the movie came out, and she was like, I don't know how bad I want to go see it. And I was like, damn, I guess I got to go by myself. And then there's one movie theater that is in walking distance of my house. And boy, if you know me, here's my standard for doing anything. One, is it within walking distance of my house? If so, I am in. If not, we're going to have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so there's one movie theater near me. And it turns out the guy who owns it's a big shithead and everybody hates him. And so now there's all these protests about don't go to the Logan Theater. And I'm like, I'm a radical leftist. I'm about the coolest guy in town. I'm not going to the theater when people be protesting it. But also, the next theater's so far away. I got to go to the movie by myself there? No way. Off the table. I'm going to see this movie, and I'm going to love it. And then in like 3 years, there's going to be a re-release. And if I am still alive, I'm going to be like, damn, I got to go see this re-release in the theater immediately.
Yeah.
But like, I should probably just... like, it's still around. I should just go. But so far, and Gina won't go with me.
I think this is all completely fair.
Yeah. And you think I'm not a dick, Pat, or John when I say that, right?
Not at all.
But I might be... I think the guy who owns the theater might be a Bobby, unfortunately.
I hate the name Bobby because there's a guy that I hate named Bobby that I had to deal with for quite a while.
Is his name also Pretty Ricky? what is it? Cherry Lime Ricky.
That's a drink, right?
That's a drink.
But then also Rick is like a Rick house, which is where they store whiskey barrels.
I don't know this one.
Where, you know, the warehouses, they have like these like switchback like ramps so that they can hold the barrels up. Those are called Rick houses, but this is like a self-fulfilling prophecy because it's named that because the guy that invented that whole system's name was Rick, I think.
Yeah. Rick Springfield?
Rick Springfield.
Yeah. What a story. Thanks for spinning the yarn, Charlie. either way, I've had a wonderful time. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast this week.
Thanks again for having me.
Best wishes in the intervening days.